Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the Lord, the King of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth and with it said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Our second scripture lesson comes from the letter to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious God, we hear your word this day, and we ask that it would lead us, guide us, and keep us. Show us the path of service, the path of becoming and being your people. Gracious God, may your word light our path and guide our hearts this day and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. It's always interesting to talk about the idea and concept of family. After all, every family has its quirks, inside jokes, and skeletons. My own family is so competitive that people have literally been taken out during a family football game. Cheap shots and the like are commonplace because you have to win. It's hit the point where a contingent of my family has started describing certain package-only behaviors as BCP, because package. If you're on a conference call and your children all of a sudden start shouting at the top of their lungs, "Smite! Smite! Smite!" BCP, because they're peckages. If you sit for hours on end working a puzzle without uttering even a single word to the point where half the family thinks you've disappeared, BCP. If you think that visiting a battlefield or fort is the height of enjoyment, BCP, what makes us all who we are is what makes us family. What makes us family makes us what, in fact, we are, how we live, how we are in our world. The elements and values that teach us to be and live in this world mostly come from our families. But our families are not defined by a cookie cutter. You've heard my descriptions of my own family, and I would guess that not all of us line up on the same cookie. Many of you probably don't think a battlefield is a great time to go on vacation. But the fact is, the values we have come from our families. How our families function come from our families. What it means to be family comes from who is and is around us. The difference in values and family, though, is reserved for our immediate group, isn't it? What is a value and what makes up family for one person might not be the same for their first cousins or second cousins. I remember how different it was growing up and going to the various grandparents' houses and having devotions before dinner. At home, we would always begin with a prayer, and the person who prayed was always rotated around the table, usually starting with my youngest sister and then working its way up to mom. But you'd visit the grandparents and it would change. One set of grandparents, you would sit down and simply just have a prayer, and it was always, always led by grandma. The other set, you would sit down and eat and then read a devotion from the upper room together and then pray together. These values, these differences make us who we are, but make our families what they are. The difference, though, is that many of us are coming from a different place, a different variance, a different experience of family. And so when we talk about family, we need to understand that the family of God is like and yet unlike anything we've experienced in our lives. What we need to do is essentially experience as we did when we were younger, when we for the first time sat down with a friend and noticed the difference between one family and another. That's the difficulty with the family of God, is it is similar and so different from what we have and have experienced. Each of us comes with preconceptions and experiences as we go forth as the people of God as to what a family is. But our own experiences and understandings are not yet the same as the family of God. We need to enter into our understanding of the family of God with the basic principle that our experience is like a mirror. It does not show the true picture, but part and parcel, a little bit of the picture. We need to understand the fallibility of our own families and the fallibility of what is the human experience. In many ways, it's not dissimilar to our experience and discussions of love and how human love is imperfect and yet illuminates and shows us an experience of the love of God. Just as human love is imperfect, the human family, an experience of family, is imperfect. Now, Paul uses one particular word that gives us an idea of what he's driving at with the family of God. He talks about how we are children of God through adoption. Through adoption. Now, he, on the one hand, differentiates between the spirit of slavery, which could be interpreted as being our relationship with God, and the spirit of adoption, which is our experience. Now, under Rome, in Rome, the experience of adoption looked a particular and certain way. There was a thrown together ceremony, a formal setup, whereby you could become adopted into a new family. Now, there are various reasons you can be adopted, one of the largest being to establish an heir. A family line suddenly does not have an heir to succeed, to take on the responsibility of the family name, etc. And so they would adopt from a friend or close relation a male to inherit. Now, the ceremony would have the birth father symbolically selling the child, the person, usually it was a 20-something, late teen, to the new family and new father. There would be witnesses to show and bear witness and understand that this was a formal occasion. And at the end of the day, throughout all the rhyme and the reason, the pomp and ceremony, once the papers had been signed and witnessed, you were a new person. You had no claim, or the old life, you had no claim. It had no claim on you. Your former father could win the lottery the next day, and you couldn't inherit a dime. Your new life, suddenly, in that moment of adoption, began. Why does Paul use this example? Because when God has adopted us, brought us in, grabbed hold of us, and drawn us into the family of God, we are adopted into the family of God. Our old life fades away and is no more. And our new life as children, as part of the family of God, is all, is everything. The past no longer holds sway, doesn't exist. All that is your new life and your new family. Now lay that down, that experience of adoption down, on what Paul is talking about. He's talking about how now suddenly, with Christ and God being adopted into the family of God, our new spirit, our new experience of family is this new family, the family of God. It means we don't live in the way we did, but live in the way we are now. We live according to God's Spirit. We live in this new world, this new family of ours. We have been fully adopted as children of God. Fully. Because that's another piece about that adoption within the culture of Rome. Adoption meant not that you were one of four children, but were the adopted child. No, you are fully and functionally as much a member of the family as everyone else. You are. That's the rubric here. That's the matching piece, is that now you are a child, a part of God's family. The the image of adoption and being part of God's family. Being a child of God is easy to accept and yet difficult at the same time. It's hard to reorganize and reprioritize the way we are and want to do things. We want to live into the flesh, as Paul says. We want that old life, that previous life. We want that prior to adoption life. And yet we have been adopted into the family of God. And we are called to be and live into that adoption we have. We're trying to straddle the middle between old and new. And the problem is we can't. We must grab hold of that new life, that new family, with both hands. The idea of being part of the family of God is, in fact, countercultural. It's foundationally countercultural because it prioritizes other things. Living for God, living a life for God, is the priority. It means swimming against the current and is as difficult as ice skating uphill because we have to prioritize differently. We have to measure decisions differently because when we take on that mantle of Christian, little Christ, child of God, we are placing God as the head of our family. We are placing God as our Father. We are adopted and shifted the paradigm of our lives. We have shifted what is important and what isn't in our world and in our lives. It isn't about what we want, but about how God is calling us to live and be. It's about what God wants and what God has asked of us. At no point does God say that being a child of God, living into this call in our lives, is going to be easy. Make no mistake, when Paul uses the word suffer with him, he does so for a reason. This is not an easy path to follow Christ, because we are going to be on a more difficult path, requiring self-sacrifice and true devotion to God. The easy path is the one of sin and not the path we are called to walk. We are called to walk a more difficult path, to swim against the current, to ice skate uphill. The fact is, being a child of God, being part of the family of God, is a challenge for all of us, for each of us. But we have been called and adopted into it. And so may we live into that call and live into that new life, that adoption from God. May we live together, work together, and serve our Father together. Amen.